In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to look at just part of one verse, in verse 7. This is the chapter that we've been dealing with. Verse 6, the Bible tells us that we have gifts different. They are differing gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And we build up to the place now where we're trying to discover and develop the spiritual gifts that the Lord's given to us. A lot of confusion about the gifts, and a lot of people maybe don't even think about this. And I don't think that necessarily we have to look at them in the order that they're recorded. I hope to get to several of them, maybe not all of them. We deal with Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But I want to deal with a gift to me this morning as I study that I feel is probably so significant and so needed in the church and in the world today. It's found in verse 7. He's talking about gifts, the first part of that. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. There is a gift of ministry. And really, ministry is not what comes in. Ministry is what goes out. A lot of churches have a lot of members, but membership's not ministry. A lot of churches have a lot of money, but money is not ministry. See, you can have money, and if you sit on it and don't minister, you've disobeyed God. A church has disobeyed God. A person has disobeyed God. If God's given you the means to be a blessing and minister to others, and you don't do that, you have disobeyed God. Can you make it to heaven? Yes, but I don't want to answer for it. It's not a question of can you still go to heaven. The question is, after that we're saved, what would God have me to do? See, we'd all be better off in heaven after that we come to know the Lord as our Savior. But why does He leave us here? Because He wants each of us in the body of Christ to discover the gift that we have. And this gift to me makes more impact than any of the other gifts that we'll talk about. I think it is probably one of the most positive aspects of the spiritual gifts. It is one of the most important. So I'll say this in the beginning. This gift is a priority gift. Because the truth of the matter is, if we don't have ministry, if it's not all about ministry and ministering to others, then all of these other gifts, the reason that we operate in those gifts is to be a minister to someone else or to show that ministering spirit to people in need and to help one another. So it is a priority gift. It's not only a priority gift, but it's a practical gift. Now, I hope you brought your Bibles today, and if you're sitting by someone that doesn't have a Bible, don't be embarrassed if you don't have your Bible. You've got someone near you that will let you look off theirs. Let's look, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look in verse 11. We're talking about how practical that it is. The practical side of this gift. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now watch the next phrase. If any man minister, by the word man, he's not using merely a gender here. We all have the opportunity. He's talking about mankind in general. If any man minister, let him do it as of the, what's the next word? Ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Amen. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Now, why do I say it's a practical gift? God's not asking you to pull from something you don't have. This is what He's already given to you. So He's taken what you already have and giving you this supernatural, spiritual ability to take what you have and be a blessing to somebody else. I tried to write a definition for what ministry is. This is the best that I could come up with. Ministry is serving others in a practical way from the resources with the ability that God has already given to us. So in other words, if you're saying, well, I have this desire to minister, if God touches your heart and you look around, this is not just seeing needs. Please hear what I'm saying. You look around and you see a need, and let's say there's a need out there that someone is in desperate need of $1,000. And you don't have $1,000. I'm not talking about God moving on you. He's not going to ask you to do something that you don't already have. Give it a moment to soak in. See, we try to base this on the need and not the ability. I'm trying to get you to take what God's already given you, because the truth of the matter is, God isn't going to give any of us any more until we do something with what we already have. It's about taking what we have. Now, if you have that $1,000 and God shows you the need and says, I've given you the ability to do that, then you're to put that into action in a practical way. It is a practical gift. It is a powerful gift. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 10. If you'd turn there with me. Let's go over to the book of Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41. Let me show you how powerful this gift is. When you minister, when you help those that are in need or those that need your support, God regards that just the same as doing it. We hear a lot, there are those that go and there are those that send. Well, the sending, God sees as just as vital as the one that's willing to go. For example, everyone thinks preaching is the greatest call. But I'm here to tell you, the preacher without people is nowhere. I mean, trying to preach without people is like having a forest without trees and a river without water. It's not only those that are willing to go, the missionaries that's willing to go, but if you're not willing to send, the sending is as vital as the willingness to go. So don't ever underestimate your part. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your part is just as important as any other part. And God confirms that in Matthew 10 and verse 41. Listen to what He says, the words of Jesus. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. The very first gift He names in Romans 12 is the gift of the prophets to prophesy. But He's saying the person now that is ministering to the prophet is just as important as the prophet. Because the prophet couldn't do anything without the people that won't exhibit the gift of ministry. And He says, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receiveth a righteous man's reward. The question is this, who will get the reward at judgment day? The truth of the matter is, one could not function without the other. It takes both. It takes the willingness of people to be able to say, I'm not only going to be willing to do what God has asked me to do and go, but thank God there are those that are willing to sin. And the people that are willing to do that are just as important. I know that several mentioned the program today, and people will watch the program all around the world, but the truth of the matter is, it just would not go on if it wasn't for people that are housebound, that send in $5 or $10 or $15, they're just as important as me standing up and preaching the message, because the message couldn't get out if they weren't willing to minister what they have to be a blessing to others. It's a prevalent gift. This is not a gift that's mentioned one time in one verse. I don't have time to read all of them to them. But I hope that you'll search your New Testament. You'll find John Mark helped Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13:5. You'll find that Timotheus and Erastus helped Paul. You'll find that Priscilla and Aquila and others helped the Apostle Paul. You'll find that Tychicus was also needed and helped in the ministry. Do you know that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:15 that the whole household of Stephanas was addicted to the ministry? Every time they ministered, they wanted to do more.
And the more they did, the greater pleasure that they arrived from that. And the more that they were determined to try to do even more. Don't feel like that you can't offer God anything. You take what God has given to you and you offer it to the Lord. I don't care if it's a lad with 2 fishes and 5 barley loaves. He was willing to minister and give what he had. It's not just our possessions. It's also about our time, our talents, our treasures. God's saying the reason that you live a life that you feel unfulfilled is because I have given you certain things to use for my glory. And I've given you the ability. I've given you the resources. And you're not using it.
The greatest condemnation you'll have at the end of your life as a sinner is that God gave you life, health, breath, soul, spirit. God gave you His Son. Don't tell me you don't have the resources to be saved. He gave you Jesus. And that's the payment in full. You'll not answer for the things that somebody else did. Quit looking at everybody else. Don't try to measure your life by some half-hearted, backslidden, professing Christian that's in and out. Don't look to them and say, I'm better than them. That has nothing to do with our salvation. The question is, when we look at Jesus, where are we at? He has done so much for us. Why can't we turn to Him and do what He wants us to do? It's prevalent all through the Word of God. It's a pleasing gift. The Bible said, Paul started talking as he wrote to Timothy. He talked about a man by the name of Onesiphorus. And he said, he oft hath refreshed me. Paul went on to say, he wasn't ashamed of my chains. He said to Timothy, he would come and look for me and search me out. Just to have the privilege to minister. Some people take that from the literal meaning. When he said he oft refreshed him, church history says, where they would have the chains on Paul's hands. The shackles would wear blisters on his wrist and on his ankles. And they said Onesiphorus would come. And do you know what he would do? Blow on the blisters, because it gave a cooling, calming effect. Have you ever breathed on someone? Maybe your deed seems so small and seems so insignificant, but I think sometimes we forget what you are doing. Don't ever let the ungrateful determine what you do, because you may do something for someone and they show no appreciation. But I'm here to tell you, when you minister to people, there are those that appreciate what you do. They appreciate the card you send. They appreciate the time that you take to help them. How do we help others? We help people sometimes by our presence, by going to them in their hour of need and being there at the right time. I don't know how many people have told me when they were sick, facing a major surgery, when somebody would walk in the room, a Christian friend, and oftentimes they'll look at that individual and they'll say, is there anything I can do? And they'll say, just being here is enough. Your presence. You don't have to say anything. Just be there for them. You don't know what it's like to maybe go through the things they're going through. Where do we get in our mind we have to go through everything somebody's gone through to minister to them? You don't have to go through everything they've gone through. You may not have ever been a drug addict, but you can still minister to drug addicts. You may have never been an alcoholic, but you can still minister to alcoholics. You may have never gone through a divorce, but you can still minister to people that are going through divorce. Quiet now, isn't it? Ministering to others. You may say it seems so small. We had a very hectic week this week, a very busy week after revival ended here on Wednesday. I've been preaching every night since then. I'll preach again at 1:30 this afternoon. I'm back for church here this evening. It's been a very busy week. Leave for Beckley tomorrow. I'll preach tomorrow night, and then on Tuesday I'll preach 2 times Tuesday morning, and then again on Tuesday night. It's been very busy. And needless to say, with everything else going on, sometimes it's hard to get everything done. Yesterday at 1:30, there was a knock on the door, and I opened up the door. And there was a pan of fried chicken. Fresh fried sweet potatoes. Corn. Rolls. Ministering. This week there were people that it's not always your money. You need to understand that. There was people this week from our church in the middle of a busy revival. They were up on a roof helping some of our folks out. There's others in the church this week that have faced some things that they didn't know how they were going to get it done. But through all of it, we were still able to communicate and feel those needs and meet those needs. Do we always take care of everything? No. And I'm sorry if we failed you on some things. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad that I'm in a church that cares about people and cares about others. And oftentimes, you'll never see it and you'll never know it, but I've got good news. God keeps a record. And there's a payday coming. And for everything we do for the righteous, for the prophet, God said you'll get the same reward. A lady one time felt so insignificant because all she could do in her church, she felt, was prepare food and work in the kitchen. And when they'd have funeral dinner, she was there to prepare the food and to help out every way that she could. Finally, one day, God gave her a little poem, and she posted it in the kitchen for others that were there serving the Lord. And this is what she said. Lord of all pots and pans and things, since I have no time to be a saint by doing lovely things, or watching late with Thee, or dreaming in the dawn light, or storming heaven's gates, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. Although I must have Martha's hands, I have a merry mind. And when I black the boots and shoes, Thou sandals, Lord, I find. I think of how they trod the earth, what time I scrubbed the floor. Except this meditation, Lord, I have not time for more. Warm all the kitchen with all Thy love, and light it with Thy peace. Forgive me of all my worrying, and make my grumbling cease. Thou who didst love to give men food in room or by the sea, except this service that I do it unto Thee. The things we do, the little things we do, it's what makes the difference. And the Lord sees it, and the Lord will bless us for our ministry. Now, how do I know if I have it? I'm going to give you some characteristics of the gifts of ministry. If you do not have these characteristics, you do not have the gifts of ministry. So don't try to be something you're not. Here they are. You can jot them down. First of all, what I pinned down, I believe it takes recollection. What do you mean by recollection? Well, if you have the gift of ministry, you have to have the ability to recall specific likes and dislikes of people. It's hard to give them what they need if you don't know what they like. Don't everybody shout at once. Detection. That's the second thing. If you have the characteristic of detection, what's that mean? A sensitivity, an alertness that's placed inside of us through the Holy Spirit to detect and meet practical needs. Especially looking at projects and being able to see what others can't see. You're able to detect that. If you can't see that and detect it, you can't help feel that need. Third, motivation. Motivation means that you're not doing it because the pastor asked you to do it. If you have to come and ask me, preacher, is there anything I can do? You don't have the gift. It's self-motivated. No one has to ask you to do it. No one should have to. You shouldn't have to come to church and hear the preacher preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or hear him preach on Wednesday night and try to tell you, you need to go do that. You see people that's in need, something inside of you says, I have it, I can meet that need, I can feel that need, and you just do it. You're self-motivated. Now, if you're motivated by the wrong thing, you're in trouble. See, just like I hear a lot of preachers, they say, oh, I want a pastor. I pray they never pastor. You're awful, preacher. No, I'm not, because they don't have the gift of ministry. See, what they're saying is I'll minister if you pay me. But all of you preachers that don't have a title, you should be, if you feel a leadership to pass, you should be visiting the hospitals regularly. You should be checking on shut-ins, or you should be doing it. You can't do it all. None of us can do it all. I can't get everywhere and do everything, but you should be doing that. And do you know why that sometimes you feel like people don't receive your message? Because you're puffed up. You think it's all about you and your message. The truth of the matter is, I realize I'm not a great preacher. I may never be a great preacher, but I tell you what I try to do. I try my best to minister to people in their hour of need, to pray for them in their hour of need, to help them, to try to grant what wisdom that God has given to me, what small as it may be. I try to minister to them. Do you know why people respond? Because you minister to them. A lot of preachers say, boy, I'm just so jealous of those churches that are growing and doing something. What it really is you're angry because you're too lazy to work. You have to be self-motivated. There's a motivation. There has to be a continuation. That means weariness does not stop you. God help the people in this church that came two extra services. They're worn out and they can't come for a month now. Some of you think you're squirrels. You can store it all up, get you through a winter, and come back and get something in the spring. But that's not how it works. We're fed daily. Every time I eat a big meal, I tell Candy I'm never going to eat again. 4 hours later, I'm right back at it. And for the life of me, people that don't continue on, if you start something, don't stop it. To the best of your ability, complete the job that God has given to you. Continue on. That means I'm going to continue whether someone goes or doesn't go. Someone cares or doesn't care. If it's ministry, it's ministry. God says we're not to base it on the response. The truth of the matter is, I want to see you get saved today if you're lost. I want to see your life change. But this is the simple truth. If you don't come to the Lord and you're not saved, I'll keep preaching anyway. Continuation. A reaction. The reaction is, I see it and immediately I don't have to think about it. I react to that. I have it. I react to it. I don't have to wait on it. If I have the ability, I don't have to ask somebody else, is it right? See, the things of ministry I'm talking about, I promise you, the devil will never lead you to do these things. He'll never lead you to help somebody out or encourage somebody in their time of need. Satan's not going to do that. He doesn't want that to happen. He'll discourage you, but he won't encourage you. But when you see it, you react to it. You say, I have it, and I'll use it for God's glory to be a blessing to others. And then also, there is appreciation. You can look at things with sincere appreciation and say, Lord, I am so thankful that you allowed me to be a blessing to somebody else. The appreciation of being able to do the gift allows you a desire to do even more. You finish one job and you know finishing one job allows you to do another job. You appreciate it. Hey, I hope you hear what I'm about to tell you. I did not want to go in the ministry. I told God I would not go in the ministry. Please listen to what I'm saying. Never tell God never. I was raised in a preacher's home, and I know you see a bunch of lovely people, but I'm telling you, there's some people in the church that's mean as snakes. I wanted to whip them. I did. I wanted to whip them. But my dad was gentle-spirited. Now, my dad, even though he was feeble in body, he was also strong in body. But he was submissive to God. Thank God I've changed over time. Still fight with a little bit. Every now and then it rises up in me bigger than a house. And it's okay. You don't pastor and you don't understand. But I said, God, I will not do that. I will not do that. I want to do what I want to do. I've made my lot. I've set my course, and I don't want to do that. But I'm glad that God saw something in me worth keeping and something in me worth saving. And I want to tell you, I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate the ministry that He has allowed me to do, as small as it is. I appreciate everything that God allows me to do. I appreciate the fact that He gives me strength and health. A lot of preachers maybe couldn't do it. They had the desire and they couldn't do it. And I appreciate it even when folks don't seem to have any gratitude. I still say, thank you, Lord, for letting me be there to try to be a light in a dark place. If we don't have that feeling of appreciation, if we don't get to the place that we say, who am I that God should use someone like me? If we're not at that place, we probably don't have this gift. Then there's satisfaction. There is a joy from knowing you've done something. There's joy at the end of coming out on a work day, wiping the sweat from your brow and saying, I know anybody could have handled a weed eater. I know anybody could have cleaned a window. But it sure does feel good. You may be tired, but it's very satisfying that you know you have done your part. You may have dug a ditch. You may have done some dirty job. You may have worked a week at camp and given up vacation time. But it brings satisfaction to you to know that you have utilized the gift of ministry. In fact, I don't think we really feel fully satisfied in life until we do that if God's placed it on us. But then there's a downside. There is frustration. Why is there frustration? Because if you have this gift, here's a characteristic if you know you have this gift. You'll see more needs than there is time to meet those needs. The limitation of time will frustrate you. If you're looking back saying, I wonder what I can do. Is there something for me to do? You probably don't have this gift. I'm not saying that you couldn't be supportive of others and encourage others. And by the way, you have to have discernment to know what you're encouraging, who you're encouraging, and when you're encouraging them. Now, let me give you an example. Some of you are going to think I'm real mean when I say this, and I don't mean to be mean, but I have to be pure before God. Some people get out of the will of God and they don't need you encouraging them to stay out of the will of God. Had the Bible been written today, the prodigal son would have never come home. You know what we'd have done? We took up an offering, sent down to him to get a new place to live. We'd bust all of his friends down to the far country to see him. He'd have never come home. We would have encouraged him to stay out of the will of God. Now, listen, I love you, but if you get out of the will of God, don't be expecting me to contact you and tell you how wonderful you are and what a great thing it is for you to be disobeying God and getting out of the will of God. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm adding to your misery. Sometimes you're not in the will of God. Sometimes you're running from your troubles. Sometimes you're running from your call. Sometimes you're running from the reality that God has a purpose for you and a plan for you. And you're taking a detour. Will God forgive you? Yes. I've run in the wrong direction. I know, but I thank God. People didn't say that's the way to go. You did the right thing. If it's going to mess your life up, how can I help you do that? How can I enable you to do that? Just because you have this gift of encouragement, if you cannot discern. I'm not talking about I'm going to look you in your eye and tell you you're out of the will. That's what everyone wants. They want a preacher that will tell them when they're in God's will and when they're out of God's will. You're saved. You have the Spirit of God. You know if you're in God's will. You know that. But what happens is when people get out of the will of God and somebody spiritual comes to them and tries to encourage them to remain that way, then they feel confident it's okay. See, they don't want counseling. No, they want approval. I want to do wrong and I want you to stamp the wrong, the stamp of approval, and say that it's covered. When it's not. Some of you sitting here right now ready to make some of the worst decisions of your life. the worst decisions of your life. How do you know that? Because the Bible says you can't do that and be blessed. But you're going to go ahead and do it anyway. You'll try to spiritualize it. You'll try to make more out of it. But in the end, you'll never be pleased. You know the best thing to do is don't get in the far country to begin with. Stay where you need to be. Stay at the place that God has planted you and rooted you so that you can operate under the gifts of ministry. I'm not saying that God doesn't leave people. You know better than that. We have people that leave this church constantly, go into other places of ministry, and they'll be the first to tell you, I'm in there with them and I'm supporting them. Sure, I hate it when they have to go. My heart's broken, but when they're doing the will of God, and we know it's the will of God, That's not the problem. The problem is when I see them leaving to a place where I know they're not going to go to church and they're not going to read their Bible and they're going to be consumed with just one thing, money. I'm about to close, so take a deep breath. Breathe in deep. You can't bless that. Think of me what you will, I won't bless that. I can't bless what God has cursed. If you got the gift of ministry, you help people do more for God. And the gift of ministry means that you help them do more for God because in the end you look at them and you say, they're doing what I could never do. They're reaching people in ways that I could never reach them. So don't be jealous of them when God uses them. I was preparing this sermon this week and I closed. Greatest compliment I think any preacher could get. I received a text from an individual that used to be in this church and they sent me a text this week. They said, you got a second that I can call you? And I texted him back. I said, sure, now's a good time. They called and they said, preacher, I don't know why, but I just felt so compelled to call you today. And I said, well, thank you. It's always so good to hear from you. So good. And then they said it just out of the clear blue. I don't know why they said it, but I'm glad they did. God knew the direction I was going this morning. And they said, preacher, you know, there's not a day that passes in my life. Not a day that I don't use something that you taught me. I pray I could teach you not only the Word of God by letter, but by example. And should God lead you into areas of ministry, God lead you to places where you minister, I pray that just every now and then it'll be a little seed that was planted. That you can say, you know, it's tough and I don't like where I'm at, but I know this is where God has placed me. But there's some people back at Rubyville that put little seeds in my heart, that they spring up at the right time to say, God's not forgotten me. God loves me, and I'm doing what's right. That means everything.